Valor will be placing notes in your hand. You have entered a season of change. An era of new dimensions opens before you. Are you ready to receive it? Are your eyes anointed with wisdom that causes you to see beyond the realm of everyday activities into the supernatural, to walk in the anointing of the Spirit of life? Are you ready to triumph in every situation of your life? 2016 is a time of supernatural visitation. In 2016, many of you will awaken to angelic intervention in the course of your lives. Some of you will literally see angels and supernatural presence. 2016 is a year of abundance overtaking the body of Christ. Not those who don't believe it's possible, but those who are believing God for the impossible. I like to believe God for the impossible because anybody can believe for the possible. Yeah. I like to believe beyond my ability. Pastor, how can you believe beyond your ability? Stretch yourself. Find a promise of God and say, God, I want to see that. I will see that. I'm preparing myself to see this promise this year in my life. The realm of the supernatural is opening this year. I trust you're prepared to walk in it. What you're meditating today will be what becomes your tomorrow, good or bad. I had someone tell me they were having a problem in their house with nightmares and with scary dreams. And I said, well, what are y'all engaged in right now? Well, we've been watching the vampire series. You're crazier than you look. You don't want to sit up nights watching horror movies and then go to bed. They will visit you in the night because what you go to sleep with is what you will meditate on while you're asleep. So I like to fall asleep praying in the Spirit. I like to read encouraging things so that while I'm asleep, my cognizant mind may be snoozing, but my subconscious mind is reviewing what I was feeding upon. Start feeding your spirit man this year as you never have before. Begin reading the New Testament in expectation of a promise. Don't read it looking for a story. Read it looking for a promise that you can lay hold of, because it's filled with them. This year we began with pursuing the miracles in the life of Christ for a reason. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also." So anything that occurred in his life, walk, and ministry can occur in yours, except the cross. It's already been defeated. Death has already been triumphed over. Sickness and disease have already been put under the feet of the promises of God. Join God in standing in those promises, and they'll be under your feet. What amazes me is people who are trying to believe beyond the Word of God when they've never truly laid hold of and believed the Word of God. If you want to walk in the miraculous and the supernatural, start believing what His Word says. So we pick up today in your notes, you have them in your hand. A number of years ago, more years than most of you can remember, we started putting together notes because I want the Word to go beyond your hearing it. We're told that if you hear something, you can retain 20 to 30% of what you hear. But if you write it, you can gain 60% retention. So I write it down for you so you can read it, hear it, and absorb it into your being. Because when God said, "The works that I do, you shall do also," He wasn't blowing smoke. But He also realized that some people don't want to do the works that He did. They just want to be sure they don't go to hell. If that is you, grow up. There is more to being born again than avoiding hell. There is more than going to heaven. There is establishing kingdom rule in the earth now. Heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. That's the job description of every believer. And Judith, the Lord Jesus believed you could do it. All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible. Stretch your believing. To date in the life of Christ, we looked at our Lord's supernatural birth. The rule over nature as water was turned to wine. An evil spirit is driven out at the synagogue on the Sabbath when it was illegal to do that. Peter's mother-in-law is healed on the Sabbath when it was illegal to do that by the church. And many were healed after sunset on the Sabbath because our Lord was willing to meet people at their point of faith. So the people waited till sundown on the Sabbath before they went and got their sick friends and relatives and brought them to the Master, but He still met them at their level of faith. Our Master then said, "It's important that I carry the gospel of the kingdom to the other cities of Judea." And so He began to go to the synagogues of Judea and teach the kingdom of God. Do not believe anyone who tells you the most important thing you do as a Christian is to win the lost. The most important thing you do as a child of God is build a kingdom. Winning the lost is but a part of that. But you don't want to win the lost. You want to see people born again. Too many people are getting saved and not enough people are getting born again. Being saved is an experience of receiving the Lordship of the Yeshua HaMashiach. Being born again is a process where your mind is renewed to this newness of life in Christ Jesus. And you don't just get your ticket to heaven punched. You get your ability to rule and reign in this life insured. In chapter 5 of Luke, we find the Master addressing a crowd at the Lake Gennesaret. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake Gennesaret. As a backdrop for his message, the Lake Gennesaret, a tranquil setting for him to share. But the crowds were pressing in on him. And sometimes the press of the crowd became the point of interest for the people that was there. So Christ, understanding staging, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had got out of them and were washing their nets. Two boats have come aground. They're empty, not in use. Their crews are washing their nets after a hard night of toiling for fish. The Master got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. The Master seats himself in Peter's boat, has him push out from the land, and he uses the water as an acoustic tool for the delivery of his message. And by separating himself from the crowd is no longer the focus. He becomes the focal point. Sometimes a crowd will take on a life of itself. So he strategically placed himself as the point of focus. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Peter had been obedient when the Master said, "I want your boat. Stop washing your nets. Come over here and put out the boat a little ways from shore so I can finish my message of the kingdom." I shared with you a few weeks ago that many people do not receive a return on their tithes and offerings as they should because they don't dedicate it unto the Lord's service. They don't see it as being a part of kingdom. They don't make him Lord over their offerings and their tithe. Because Peter submitted to lordship, the same boat that was unable to find fish is now able to find fish. The same nets that kept coming up empty are now able to come up full. Why? He put the kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and being in right standing with him. When the Master said, "Peter, I want your boat. I want your time. Stop washing your nets. Leave your secular activities and push the boat out so I can use it as a platform to minister kingdom truth." When Peter submitted to lordship, surrendered his boat, surrendered his time to the Master, he didn't say, "Hey, Jack, I got nets to wash. I got stuff to do. I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to put my feet up and forget about this dreadful night that we caught nothing. I want to go suck my thumb and sit in the corner and feel sorry for myself." No, he accepted the lordship. He accepted the Master. And he began to work for the kingdom rather than for fish. When he did that, his life changed. Because when you put God first, the blessings follow. Yes, Lord, I hear you calling me to prayer, but I've got to finish this task, and then I'll try and pray a little bit. Yes, Lord, I hear you calling me to your word, but I've got several things that need to be taken care of. I've got so many irons in the fire that there's no room for fire anymore. No, put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and being in right standing with him, and the good times will begin to roll. At the close of his message on the kingdom of God, our Messiah transitions from precept to example. He's been teaching on the power of the kingdom. Now he's going to demonstrate the power of the kingdom. Peter, the nets you just washed in discouragement, put back in the same fruitless water and expect a different result. All night long you've been putting the nets down in this water with fruitless results. Now because you've honored me as Lord, now because you have submitted to the kingdom, put the same nets down in the same fruitless water, but expect a different result. Church, there is a message that God is speaking to us right now. If you'll seek first God, the same things you've been doing without results, you can now do with results because you came under lordship, because you honored kingdom. Why? Can you expect a different result? You put the work of the kingdom before your own work. While you were toiling, washing your nets, I said, stop that and put me first. You responded to lordship. You let your boat be given over to ministry. Because I, the king, the Lord, said so, you're willing to respond. That ensures the result. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. Believe when you pray that you've got it, and it will come to you. This is Job 22:28. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. Peter was in the presence of lordship. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Another man, Abraham, was in the presence of the Lord. And God said to him, I've made you the father of many people groups. And he said, I believe you're God. And I believe you can make the dead alive. I'm dead, but you're making me alive. I'm accepting it, and I have become the father of many people groups. Calling things into being was a part of the Lord's walk. Jesus was calling into being the fish when he said, put down your nets for a big catch. And part of his teaching is ruling and reigning in the kingdom. Peter, I'm going to show you how to rule over a situation. Put the kingdom first. All night long you've been putting work first. Now put kingdom first and the work will follow. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. I don't understand why it's working. I don't understand how it's working, but I know it's working. I'm at peace with it working, no matter what my eyes tell me. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. The Master knew what Peter wanted, what he needed. And because Peter gave to the king for the kingdom work, Peter got his desire. A load of fish. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day after day. Right in the midst of disheartenment, discouragement, financial disaster, The outward man ain't seeing a way out of this. But the inward man says, yes, Lord. At your word, I'll put down my nets. At your word, I'll expect a catch. When your world seems barren, when hope seems lost, put God first and expect a turnaround in your life. Draw on the Spirit when the flesh is weak. Peter was at his weakest point, but he drew on the Spirit. And he didn't say, okay, I'll put down the nets, but I don't expect anything. No, he said, at your word, at your lordship, I've seen the water turn to wine. I've seen the sick healed. I've seen demons cast out. I saw my mother-in-law raised up from a horrible fever. So I know your word is life. Can I ask you a question? Have you grown to the point that you know his word is life? When I was under severe attack in the hospital, my wife said we had applied 5 times to VA for them to pay my medical bills. And people go, yeah, well, you had the VA. You've got a VA. It may not be VA. It may be Aunt Agatha or somebody you've never met. We'd applied 5 times and been turned down. And I said, my wife came in and said, they turned us down again. I said, they'll pay it. Don't worry about it. She said, how do you know? I said, it's the only window I see. And God will meet me there. And a few days later, Lou was getting off the elevator and her phone rang. And somebody from the VA said, we've decided to pay all your medical bills. And she said, the ones here at the VA are the ones in Austin. They said, all your bills. Now, I have friends in the ministry, like Mike Warnke and others you know, that had a heart attack like I did, and they refused to pay their bills. And they quit and went to appeal letters. But we just applied again. Why? It was the only window of opportunity I saw that was sufficient to pay $3 million in medical bills. So we trusted God. And when they said no, we applied again. They said no, we applied again. 5 times we applied and they said no. And then one day out of the blue they called and my wife almost fainted. She said, are you sure? And they said, yeah, we're sure. And you're going to pay all of them. Yeah, we're going to pay all of them. Then she got a smile. The corners of her mouth turned up. Why? We sing it. I believe God. I believe God. Do you? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Sometimes all you've got to do is see a window and then attach your faith to it. In your life, there's a window of access right now for whatever's facing you. Sometimes it's your job is that window. They just need to get your pay up where it should be, give you a bonus. But there's a window in every person's life. Lay hold of it and expect God to meet you there. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that grace and that faith are not of your doing. They are a gift from God. Faith is a gift of God. There's been so much erroneous teaching on faith that you can work it up, that you can build it up, that you can get more of it. It is impossible to get more faith. Somebody gives Brother Richard a gift of $5. That's all there is. $5. He can't make the gift 10, it's $5. But he can figure ways to make that $5 do what $10 couldn't do. I was sitting in a minister's conference, sitting next to a minister, and the minister on the stage says, "You can build your faith stronger daily by praying in tongues." And I said, "That's a lie of the devil." Apparently, I said it out loud, and the minister next to me said, "No, that's Jude 20. I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Yes, it is. It's what Jude 20 says." I said, "No, read it." He opened his Bible to prove I was wrong, and he read, "Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." You can't get more faith. You can't get stronger faith. You can't get more effective faith. All you can get is the ability to use the gift you have been given more fruitfully, more powerfully. Faith is a gift of God. Now understand this. The gift you got at salvation is big enough to carry everything you need from a headache to the defeat of a nation. But you've got to build you up to where you're willing to apply that gift to that situation. But Pastor, the disciples prayed, "Give us more faith." Didn't mean that prayer got answered. He didn't give them more faith. He taught them how to walk in the faith they already had. If you are born again, when he living inside you is enough faith for every situation you'll ever encounter in life. What we've got to do is get us out of the way so that little gift can do what we need. Can I kick another holy cow? This garbage about all you need is this much faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed. It doesn't say that. The Bible never says if you had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. It said if you had faith that works like that little grain, it looks tiny, but it'll produce a tree that'll give shelter to the birds, shade to weary travelers, medicine, seasoning, food. And your faith that was given to you by God may seem small, but if you will apply it, it will grow all of those miracles you need. Amen. Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and we caught nothing. But I will do as you say. At your word, I'll let down the nets again. At your word that heals the sick, casts out devils, turn water to wine, we will comply with that word." Are you willing to comply with that word that says, "With his stripes you were healed"? Your God supplies all your needs. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. And nothing shall be impossible for them that believe his word. When they had done this, done what? What he said. They enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. The reward of obedience is great. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things you want will be added unto you." Bears fruit for Peter and for his associates. Peter obeyed God and his associates got fish. So they signal their partners in the other boats. Wait a minute, I thought the other boats were already pulled up to land. They were washing their nets. When they saw Peter go out, they got in their boat because they wanted to see what was happening. So they signaled their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. This year, God wants to sink your boat, potentially. God wants to load you up with so much that you're like, God, wait a minute, we're at the sinking point. Just let me get this load to shore. Pastor, you're being facetious. No, I'm not. 2016 is a year of abundance for those that will believe and receive. For those who are waiting to see what happens, ain't nothing happening for you this year. Because you've got to lay hold of the promise of God. At your word, I'm going to get it. At your word, I'm going to walk in it. A double portion of fish. Not one boatload, but two. But when Simon Peter saw that boat sinking load of fish, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Going away, go away from me, for I'm a sinful man." You see, Peter was witnessing grace in action and immediately went back to law. I'm unworthy. No, you're in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're obeying what he said do. That makes you worthy. Church, get a hold of this. I don't have to be perfect. I have to be surrendered. Peter went back to the law and works. I'm not worthy, but grace makes one worthy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your report card or your performance. Lean on grace and truth. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because the catch of fish which they had taken, they saw in the natural what the supernatural could produce. And they wanted to backpedal. They wanted to walk backwards from it. But God said, no, Peter, you're going to do greater than this. You're going to walk in greater than this. The goodness of the Lord can be overwhelming. The goodness of the Lord that draws men to the change of mind. See him as your source, your supply, your ever-present help. Put kingdom first and watch what God can do. Pastor, what are we seeing in the miracles of Christ? Today we're seeing how miracles can change nature. Your world around you may be fruitless. Pastor worked all week and it's not enough to pay the bills. Learn from this lesson. Put God first in the tithe and the offerings and expect what's left to be more than enough. Put God first when you're weary and tired and would really just like to go check out. Spend time praying in the Spirit and saying, Lord, my week has been a mess. My physical accomplishments have come to naught, but I lay it at your feet. I'm going to give you the disaster of my week, expecting you to give me a victory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't try to figure out how. God, all I got to do is trust you. And God will draw your attention to a thing, to a place, to an attitude, to a confession, to a thought. And when he does, begin to work it. Laying flat on my back in the hospital, I knew one thing. God had said to me, what you can celebrate, you can possess. And so when they were saying to me, you'll never walk again, you'll never talk again, you may even be a vegetable, I didn't want to be a carrot. I wasn't even going to take potato. I wanted to be me. I just got to be me. And so you came into agreement with me, and every service you celebrated the truth with his stripes, the pastor was made whole. And you watch that celebration bring about life. Then when the bills began to pile up and they were calling and saying, we need 10,000 here, 10,000 there, we need this, we need that, and the bills were pushing $3 million. I didn't have it in savings. I didn't have an invention that I could sell or something I could do. And someone said, you know, you're a veteran. So we checked, and sure enough, what I was suffering from was because of Agent Orange from Vietnam. I saw a window. And I said, all right, God, you can use that, because you can't use my bank account. It ain't there. You can't use my hands because they're not ready to work right now. You can't use that invention I've been working on because it don't exist. All I need is a window. And I believe you can meet me through that window. Well, they turn you down. Yeah, but I'm still looking at the window. Well, they turned you down a second time. We're still looking at the window. A third, a fourth, a fifth time they turned you down. Yeah, but I've looked at all of my resources. And James, it's like B.B. King. He went to the bus station. He looked upon the wall. He looked in his pocket, and he wasn't tall at all. He had the blues. Well, I like blues music, but I don't like having the blues. So I said, God, I see this window. In your life right now, there's already a window for healing, for provision, for family. One of the great stories in the Word of God is that we don't understand the dual dimension that's going on in the earth. And a prophet has been telling his king what the other kings are planning to do. The other kings are bent out of shape. So Roy, the other kings get together and they surround the city that the prophet's in. And Rudy, the prophet's trusty servant, says, O prophet, in case you haven't noticed, we're dead meat. The armies are assembled against us. And the prophet said, but I see a window. Greater are those that are with us than the armies you can see that are against us. And the servant went, 100, 200, 300, 500, that's 1,000. 1, 2. You crazy old man. You seeing things. And he said, yes, I am. I'm seeing past the natural into the supernatural. Now, God, open my servant's eyes that he may see. And when his eyes were opened, the throng of angels was already there. Because before you ask, he will answer. And so the prophet said, open his eyes that he can see into that other dimension that's already there. Right now, angels of God are already surrounding you, ready to defeat whatever enemy is opposing you. But you've got to have your eyes open so you can see it. Every promise of God is a window, Lethesia. Every promise of God is a window I can look at and see. You said with his stripes I was healed. I'm going to celebrate that. And it will defeat this sickness. You said you supply all of my need. That's a window. I'm going to celebrate that. And my need will have to bow. You said I can do all things through the anointing that infused me. I'm going to celebrate that, so this situation will have to disperse. Church, God invented the first fish finder, the eyes of the Spirit. And when Peter goes, ain't no fish in that water, Jesus said, there is in that water. There's a window of hope waiting for you right now. Find the promise of God and begin to look at that window and say, God, this is your promise. I know it's done by the name and the blood of your Holy Son. He conquered the earthly realm that I could draw on the spiritual realm. I am becoming a student of the dual levels of existence, the natural and the supernatural. I want my eyes open to see what's already there. I want my heart open to receive what is already provided. I want my mind renewed to believe the Word more than I believe what my senses tell me. The works that I do shall you do in greater. Can you see yourself telling someone where to put down their nets for their drought? Do you see yourself healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil? Begin to concentrate on the promises of God and see that as your window of opportunity. God has things for you that you do not know of. I'm going to release a blessing on you, and then the ministers will be available. Because while I was speaking, God quickened things to many of you. Let the ministers agree with you for your window of opportunity. I didn't say agree with you for your miracle this minute. Because many people have their growth stunted by a miracle. I can tell you this. During those 7 months, I grew stronger in the faith I already had than I ever would have if I had been instantly made whole. Now, I've reached a point where I'll charge hell with a water pistol and not expect to get burned or smell of smoke. Why? If God be for me, what can be against me? Agreement is a powerful thing. When a minister of the gospel agrees with you about your window of opportunity, something's coming through. I said, something's coming through. Father, by the name and the blood of the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, as a representative of the gospel, I loose the blessings of the Lord upon this people. I decree that our eyes are being opened to see hope and potential, and that we're marrying faith to that hope, and we're gazing upon that window expecting our breakthrough, our promise, our fulfillment. I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen, and your glory is being demonstrated this year. Those things that we have laid hold of, you're bringing to pass. Those promises that we have held as IOUs, we're cashing in this year. This is our year mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. The greatest year we've ever known. An abundance like we've never experienced before. Father, thank you that this is our year we let down our nets and draw in our harvest. A boat sinking load of blessings. I thank you for it now. I praise you for it now. And I come into agreement with those who are expecting. It is done. It is done. It is done by the name and the blood of your Holy Son. You're loved. You're blessed. Go with God. If you want to stand in agreement, for your blessing, for what God is preparing you for. Ministers are available to agree with you today. God bless you.